You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. Coming up this Sunday marks 5 years since Wisconsin's indoor smoking ban went into effect. We'll take a look at what's changed since then. First, under a surprise budget amendment passed last night by Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee, records created by state and local government officials could become exempt from open records law. This means that a wide range of legislative business, from drafting bills to legislative proceedings and investigations, would no longer be subject to public scrutiny. The changes are introduced as part of a final budget motion on the JFC. WPR reporter Sean Johnson joins us from the Capitol for an update. Sean, thanks for being back with us.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
So a late night session yesterday. I know you were up late covering this. What would this amendment do? What would this change do to the way open records laws work in the state?
It is pretty sweeping. I mean, it makes changes in quite a few ways to open records in Wisconsin. One is it would exclude this new category of deliberative materials from Wisconsin's open records law. So that means anything from opinions, analyses, briefings, background information, recommendations, suggestions, drafts, correspondence about drafts, and notes developed by lawmakers. Those would all be excluded from the open records law. It would give legislators the power to prohibit legislative staff and former legislative staff from publicly disclosing any communications or records made in a legislator's office, so essentially a gag order on legislative staff and former staff. Bill drafting files would no longer be made public, so that'd make it harder to find out why bills get written the way they do, and in some cases, who wrote the bills. I mean, these are the kinds of files that were used earlier this year to confirm that Governor Walker's administration made some deliberate changes to the Wisconsin IDEA and the UW mission statement. And then it would spell out, the budget motion last night would spell out that rules and policies of the legislature would trump the open records law. So if the Senate passes a rule that that says we're going to treat these records differently, there's nothing in state law that could trump that.
So a lot of reaction since this came out. Can you talk about who's saying what about this change?
Instantaneously. I mean, this is a rare issue in Wisconsin that seems to have united conservatives and liberals. I mean, you've got reporters and, you know, editorial boards came out pretty vigorously against this from the get-go, which I think is to be expected. But you got to remember there are liberal groups and conservative groups that rely on open records to do what they do. And so you saw organizations like the Conservative MacIver Institute, the liberal group One Wisconsin Now, on the same page on this, saying this is a terrible idea, that it should be taken out of the budget, demanding to know who put it in the budget. And that's a question we still don't know the answer to.
Yeah, let's talk about that. It seems like reporters from pretty much everywhere that has reporters have been trying to figure out who put this in, who is supporting this. Any luck?
This was added to the budget in this wrap-up motion that is, it's just a catch-all motion that they vote on at the end of every budget cycle.
This is the 999 motion people are talking about?
They didn't always call it that, but they have recently. The 999 motion where a whole range of topics get put in there. I mean, for example, last night we're talking about the open records changes because they're huge, but this also made changes to collective bargaining laws, to the definition of lead-bearing paint, it allowed for a 7-day work week, changes to minimum wage requirements, payday lender authority. This is a catch-all motion that stuff gets added to, and typically everybody in the majority party votes for it. In this case, all 12 Republicans on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee voted for these changes that would restrict open records in Wisconsin, but none of them will come out and say wholeheartedly, yes, that was mine.
So Governor Walker has joined the response. Evidently, we've been hearing the news today saying he is expecting to work with lawmakers on this issue. Do we know if this is likely to come back out based on the response?
I don't know if it's going to come back out. Here's what the governor's spokesperson said. Quote, prior to the budget going to the full legislature for action, Governor Walker plans to work with legislative leaders to make changes to the provisions included in the current proposal related to the state's open records law. We don't know what those changes are. We don't know what that means. That is not a statement saying this is no good, I'm going to veto this. Changes could mean anything. I mean, this makes so many changes to the open records law that a tweak here and there, you might not even notice it. So that will all become clearer next week because the Assembly and the State Senate want to move on the budget pretty quickly.
All right, Sean, I've got a hunch we'll be talking to you about this again. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Rob.
That was WPR state government reporter Sean Johnson talking about this change to open records laws here in Wisconsin, approved by the Joint Finance Committee. Still steps to go on that. Well, Sean mentioned the McIver Institute. Well, with us now is Brett Healy. He's president of the John K. McIver Institute for Public Policy, a Wisconsin-based think tank. Brett, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, Rob.
So your organization called this a dark day for Wisconsin government. Why is this a bad idea in your eyes?
Well, Wisconsin has a long and proud tradition of open government, and clearly the language that was inserted last night in the 999 motion is a step backwards. As Sean pointed out, this would be a sweeping change that essentially protects just about every document the legislature or any elected official in Wisconsin would ever work on, and shield it from the public, who would no longer have a right to request that information under the state's open records law.
So what does the public lose there if it doesn't have that access, if the press, if groups like yours don't have access to this material?
Well, so much of what goes on, especially when it comes to policymaking, is done outside of the view of the public. Private conversations between lawmakers, leadership talking to their members, and oftentimes outside groups can only turn to the paper trail to try and figure out what the policy is a group is pursuing, and more importantly, why they're trying to make changes to state laws. So it is a key tool, the open records law, for the public to keep tabs on their lawmakers and have an idea of what exactly is going into the public policy process at the state capitol.
Well, we've heard Representative Dean Knutson has had some favorable comments in the press. He's an Assembly Republican. He's a member of Joint Finance. We invited him to appear. He wasn't available today. But here's him talking on the committee about this issue.
The legislative process involves talking with people and communicating with people. And at times, you want to be able to do that without creating a formal, open public record. And that's the balancing test here.
So to hash out things in the legislature, he's saying sometimes you need that starting process anyway to not feel like you have somebody looking over your shoulders. You hash out the basics, and then eventually you're going to have a publicly released bill. So is there some case to be made for a little bit of leeway for some private talks on legislation, Brett?
Well, but this proposal goes way beyond that and shields just about any and all communication, drafts, any sort of analysis, commentary from the public. I would argue that you can have casual conversations right now under the current system about legislative ideas, bounce ideas off people. But what you can't shield from the public is when you start to put these ideas down on paper, send them to legislative attorneys for their opinion or their thoughts on how something should be drafted. That process gives the public insight into what exactly is going on at the Capitol, and it's that sort of deliberation, those sort of discussions, that work that we need to maintain in the public view.
Here's another voice from the Joint Finance Committee, Democratic State Senator John Erpenbach, talking about this issue.
It doesn't get and will not get any worse than this. I don't care what the issue is. I don't care what's coming up in the future. This, by far and away, will be the vote. When you're 90 years old, you'll be going, damn, I wish I had that one back. I wish I had that one back. And every single headline we're going to see moving forward that involves corruption here in the state of Wisconsin, that involves kickbacks is on your head because you're voting to let this happen.
Now, Brett, we play this in part because your organization, the McIver Institute, has previously been in court over trying to get records from Senator Erpenbach's office. Right now, you're on the same side. He talked about you favorably. You're on with him. This doesn't happen often.
Politics sometimes makes for strange bedfellows, as we told Mr. Senator Erpenbach over Twitter last night. Yeah, you're exactly right. We had a lawsuit against Senator Erpenbach. We asked for some records, constituent records, who contacted him about Act 10, very controversial subject. At first, he chose to redact the names, addresses, and phone numbers of the people who contacted him. There is a longstanding Supreme Court case that has decided long ago that petitioning your government is subject to the open records law. And so eventually the court system in Wisconsin ruled in our favor, and we were able to get those documents unredacted. And but here again, this goes to show just how serious the situation is. Enemies in the court system, and philosophically we're opposites, but Senator Erpenbach and I agree that this is a bad idea and a step backwards for open government.
We're talking to Brett Healy with the McIver Institute, looking at changes to Wisconsin's open records law introduced by the state's Joint Finance Committee and approved by that committee last night. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What is your reaction to this change? Do you think open records are important? Are you worried about what this does to access to what lawmakers do? Or do you think they need a lot of leeway to draft documents without them ever going into the public eye? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation after a look at the news with Kristen Durst. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about changes to Wisconsin's public records law introduced by Republican lawmakers on joint finance last night, part of the big final budget amendment before they send it to both houses of the legislature. It takes a lot of things currently accessible in open records requests, makes them inaccessible. Want to hear your thoughts on this. Are you worried about this change? Why are open records laws important? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We have Brett Healy with us, president of the McIver Institute for Public Policy. And straight to your calls, we've got Steve on the line in Eau Claire. Steve, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What do you think of this?
Well, I think it's probably even worse than the attempt to remove and change the Wisconsin idea for the University of Wisconsin. It's ironic that this happened. It attempts to shield anyone who discusses the laws. It's proposed on the Thursday afternoon before a Friday holiday, and we can't find out who made the proposal. This is exactly what's going to happen when we get to the point of this law being implemented. I don't really understand where anyone's coming from on this.
Steve, thanks for the call. Steve agrees with you, Brett, on the content of the law. What do you think about the timing of it and the way it was introduced?
Oh, you know, anytime you unveil a sweeping idea like this, and no matter the subject, this late in the process, and as the caller pointed out, you know, 5:30 on the Thursday before a holiday weekend, it is going to raise all sorts of questions. You know, it surely raised the ire of the media in the room. So I'm not sure what leadership was trying to accomplish by adding this language this late in the process, but I think they underestimated the fierce and reaction from the public and from open government advocates all across the state.
Steve, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Frank in La Crosse. Frank, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My comment is just that this proposal, in a sense, amounts to secret government. There seems to be a movement among some politicians that the only participation that citizens should have in government is to elect representatives, and then, as Chris Christie says, they should sit down and shut up, and apparently not listen either. That's my comment.
Frank, thanks for the call. Frank saying citizens should be more involved, not less, I guess, in the way our laws are made. Do you see citizens playing enough of a role, Brett, as it is under the current open records laws?
Frank's right. We need people to participate. It's easier to participate if we can keep the citizens informed on what's going on. The open records law is a key component of that effort, and it's bipartisan in nature. It's actually a nonpartisan effort to open and transparent government. As you mentioned earlier, there are groups on all sides of the political spectrum who have come out opposed to this this provision. I think you're going to see every major news outlet in the state editorialize against it as well. So I think the groundswell is building, and I think the grassroots voices will be heard, especially early next week when people get back from the 4th and realize what exactly was passed.
One more caller, Tim in Kenosha now. Tim, hi.
Hello. Yes, interesting topic. The huge word in capital letters is trust, and that it's already low, and this seems like this would bring trust in the legislature down in the negative figures. What I worry about at this point is everybody says, oh, this is terrible, let's fix it, but then let's look at the details about how it's going to be fixed and what items are going to remain. That's my worry.
Tim, thanks. Trust in government, as Tim says, Brett, already not great. Do you see this undermining confidence further?
Oh, clearly this doesn't help. And Tim's also right about the process. The legislature is hoping to be done with the budget here this next week. And so the idea that perhaps you could pull together stakeholders here in the next few days and come to some sort of agreement on the language that I inserted is, I just don't know if we have time for that. And quite frankly, I don't think this is the appropriate vehicle for a change like this. So I hope that the language would come out, and if lawmakers are serious that they think there needs to be changes to the open records law, they would sit down with groups like the Freedom of Information Council and the newspapers across the state and see if we can find some common ground if changes are needed. But to try and do this at this late stage of the budget process, it just doesn't make sense.
Brett, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob.
That was Brett Healy, president of the John K. McIver Institute for Public Policy, a Wisconsin-based think tank that promotes free markets, individual freedom, personal responsibility, and limited government, talking about proposed changes to Wisconsin's open records laws.